Grace and peace to you in Jesus Christ. In our last week's gospel text, we had the first part of the narrative, actually, that we finish with this narrative we have today in the gospel. A man comes to Jesus and stops him on his way to Jerusalem and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And they talk about the second table of the commandments. And then we have a moment there in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, where it says, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him." And then he tells the man to leave everything behind and come follow him. And the man, disheartened, walks away. And that prompts then Jesus' comment there about the idea of how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus loves the man. And it's because he loves the man that he tells him what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear. In Jesus' response, we find the answer to the man's question: to follow Jesus. And in one sense, that idea is law. It acts like law on the young man who has to let go of his material wealth, or perhaps better, let God wrest him out of the grip of greed and its hold on his heart. But of course, in another sense, it's gospel, because Jesus is calling this man to himself out of love for him. And yet he doesn't come. How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And he doubles down on that. Children, he says, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples' response is, then who can be saved? Who indeed? Jesus loves this man, but he walks away disheartened. Jesus loves his disciples, who are amazed to the point of despair by Jesus' words. Jesus watches as his disciples try to justify themselves before him on the basis of that man, because they didn't do what that man did. They left everything behind to follow Jesus. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves that man, even though neither one really understands what's going on. And Jesus doesn't really use this opportunity, actually, to lambaste the rich. Jesus is really lamenting. He's lamenting the power of greed and materialism on us as sinners. Jesus loves that man, and he laments the man's plight, the plight of all the rich, to be blinded by what they have. Jesus loves the disciples who want to justify themselves in his sight and have no regard for the man that their master loves, other than that he's an object lesson for them. And is he just that for us also? Do we lament with Jesus? Lament the obstacles that people have in their lives to knowing him? Or do we just shrug our shoulders in apathy? When we're confronted by belligerent people who mock our faith, trolling us online, or maybe even to our faces, do we lament for them and the obstacles in their life that are blocking the gospel from them? Or do we just seek to get even and have retribution? What are they struggling with in their lives? What temptations are causing them to reject the Savior? How often do we even think about such things? Do we ever think about such things? Stuck in traffic in the interstate as we look at the impatient drivers around us, or maybe when we're wandering around the amusement park on a hot summer day, even in a pandemic maybe, standing in line at the grocery store to pay for what we have. Do we ever look around and wonder what will happen to these people when our Lord returns? This isn't a call to evangelize every waking moment, but it is a reminder to us of our duty to consider our fellow man as God does, to tell them about the great gift that God has for them in Jesus Christ, and that rather than holding on to the shortcomings of people and just focusing on the obstacles that they put forth, that we should love them and lament those things that cause them to reject God. And where we can, help them let go of those things, that God would work through us to turn them to Jesus. Jesus' lament of the impossibility for the rich to enter heaven is met by despair from the disciples. You know, then who can be saved? But Jesus' reply there is Jesus' reply to us in these moments in our world also. With man it is impossible, but with God it's not. For all things are possible with God. I mean, we know God loves all men and wants all to come to a saving knowledge of the truth, even those that we tend to dismiss or ignore, even those that we just don't even want to pay attention to because they're in our faces, even those whose lives on earth are so tainted with evil that it would make us shudder. A good example of this is not too many years ago, before U.S. Congressman David Reichert was a representative for the state of Washington, he was a sheriff in King County and one of the ones responsible for catching the Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway. The man had killed over 50 women across two decades while he was loose. And after he'd been captured and sentenced, this sheriff who had been following him and tracking him for years, the next day on his day off, goes in, not in his uniform, but in jeans and a polo shirt, sits down with this man who's done such great evil. And he said these words to him, "Look, I don't like what you did, but my faith tells me that I don't want anyone to go to hell. I don't even want you to go to hell. And neither does Jesus." And when he recounts this story, he says that Ridgway began to cry there and reached into his jumpsuit and pulls out a prayer that he had been given and that he'd been praying ever since he had been put in jail, one that admits he's a sinner and is asking God for forgiveness. And his lawyer recalls later that in a later meeting with Ridgway that he mentioned that the sheriff had come, not to interrogate him or to badger him or even to interview him, but just to make sure that he knew Jesus and might go to heaven. And the lawyer says that from that day forth, Ridgway was drastically changed. The rich man's rejection of Jesus' gift happens all the time. It happened there, it happens to others. But as the people of God, we are still called to pass this gift on to all we are able. After all, it's not because you loved God that Jesus died for you or called you to himself, because you didn't love him. It's not the good things that you did that made him die for you, because all you've done is just rebelled against him in your life, in your sins. Jesus didn't pass through death and the grave in victory over sin and death and the devil because you and I earned it. He did it because he loves you, just like he loves that man, loves his disciples. Rich, poor, healthy, sick, tattooed and pierced or clean cut, young or old, killers, liars, thieves, bad drivers, seminary students, even their professors. Whatever our walk in life might be, the overriding question is, do they know Christ? And for those whom we can, we speak to them, law and gospel, however they may need it, as the Spirit directs us. And for those who we cannot speak to, we pray for them. And for all those who enter our lives, we look to show forth God's love to them through ourselves, that God may work in their lives. And we do so because Jesus loves them, just as he loves you. And as he has brought his truth into your life, so he do through you to those around you, because all such things are possible with God. And always in Christ, while there's breath, there's hope. Amen.